Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachate Satarine. Auspicious event when devotees are taking shelter of connecting with the cyclic succession. Very, very nice occasion. These mantras, they're wonderful. Krishna consciousness is wonderful. These mantras are revealing the spiritual world and Krishna's position and the host of the demigods and their position of service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And initiation means making that formal connection also with the cyclic succession. There's four devotees here who will be receiving Gayatri Mantra, second initiation, and three who are taking Harinam Diksha, something that applies to both, some teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I'm particularly fond of. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadivai Bhakti Lata Bija. The living entity is wandering, sojourning, traveling throughout the whole universe, not just in the human form of life or not even just on this planet. According to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the whole Brahmanda is the field. The living entity sojourns through. And wandering and wandering and searching for happiness. And in a desert there's no water. And in a mirage there's no happiness. But wanting happiness. So therefore, seeking in the wrong way, in the wrong place, living entity continues to wander and wander. And then somehow by the causeless mercy of the representatives of Krishna and by Krishna's mercy, Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai Bhakti Lata Bija, one receives this bija of Bhakti Lata. So here we are, through that sojourn, to come to that point of receiving the seed. Srila Prabhupada describes this. It's a little mysterious in a number of ways. How does something that has no cause happen? Causeless events. Because we're accustomed to analyzing things through cause and effect. What in the material world, everything has a cause. Then you go back and, okay, that cause is the effect of some other cause, and that's the effect of some other cause, and what is there that's without a cause? So the Brahma Samhita we just chanted says, Govinda, he's the Sarva Karana Karanam, he's the cause of all causes. And fortunately for us, he's very merciful, and he wishes his mercy to go to those even that don't want his mercy or don't know of his mercy or just covered and lost and distracted. He wants to give his mercy, and he uses representatives of him to give that mercy. And the mercy comes, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the form of a seed, bija. And The seed is on the one hand. So part of the mystery is the seed is something that the seed is the desire to serve Krishna. So the desire to serve Krishna is already there, because living entities, the eternally part and parcel of Krishna, it's innate, the desire to be in service to Krishna. It's just covered. And so in a seed form, it's already there. Just like a seed is life, that's by nature's arrangement encapsulated in some kind of covering. Within that covering, there's life. So the seed is both the covering and life. And then when the seed is, some efforts are made to fructify the seed, putting in some soil or in water and exposed to light and sun, then something happens, gestation happens, and the seed starts to fructify. But this, the fructification is the watering process, but just even to receive the seed. The mystery, as I've understood it from Prabhupada's writings, although it's already there, what is it that one receives from Guru and Krishna? It's the seed is the reawakening, the remembrance of that dormant spirit, the spirit of serving Krishna. So that's the gift that's given by the prasada, or Guru Krishna prasade bhai bhakti lata beach, the mercy of awakening that. And then once the seed or the spirit of wishing to serve Krishna is awakened, there is a continuing process of germination, continuing by hearing and chanting. And just like by watering a seed, it can, a creeper or a plant or whatever can grow. In this case, the metaphor is a lata, a creeper. Creepers specifically, it's an appropriate category of plant, because creepers grow by clinging to something. And the analysis that Prabhupada gives, ultimately the creeper clings to the lotus feet of Krishna. And at the lotus feet of Krishna, the creeper then produces a flower and then fruit. And the fruit is love of God. And the flower is the bhava stage. But in between, there's this, as we've been discussing a little bit, the association of devotees, or sadhu sangha. And amongst the sadhus, those who are, particularly those who are giving instruction or guidance, those are very important persons for the bhakti lata to take close association of or cling to, so they can grow and grow and grow. The instructions, as well as the persons extending the instructions, because our process is personal. It's not impersonal. It's personal. Just as the name of Krishna is also a person. We heard yesterday this, one of the very nice verses of Rupa Goswami glorifying the holy name. He describes that the holy name has tips of his toes. That means he has form. The holy name has form. And the glowing radiance from the jewel-like Upanishads, they're wishing to touch the toes of the lotus feet of Nama Prabhu. So our process is personal. Even sound vibration is personal. On the absolute platform, the sound and the object named in the sound, Nama and Nami, they're the same. The sound of the name and the object named, they're the same. Krishna and the person, Krishna, they're the same. Our consciousness is quite dull. So we don't really understand these things. We hear them, it's like, oh, that's nice, but we don't really understand these things. When I was preparing for the Tattva-Sandarbha seminar, I found it really interesting. It's right from the Srimad Bhagavatam, where it's describing when Vyas divided the Vedas. We've all heard so many times, Vyas, Veda, Vyasa. It's a function. He divides into four. And the way that the Bhagavatam describes this in later cantos is like a king that may have many jewels in a big box or a treasure chest or something. And there's different kinds. And he asks somebody, could you separate out the diamonds and put them over there, and the rubies and put them over there, and the emeralds and put them over there, and the sapphires and put them over there. And there'll be some left over, okay? Can you do that? So that was done by Vedavyasa, or is done every Dwarapa Yuga before Kali Yuga begins, to make it easier for people. In the age of Kali, everything has got its compartments. But the explanation was that before, the Brahmanas were so learned, their intellect was so sharp, they could just reach into the box, they know which mantras to take. They didn't have to have any divisions. They were just so knowledgeable. But Vyasa knew people in the age of Kali, their intelligence is going to be quite dull, and so he made it easier. And then after those jewels were separated, there was, into the four Vedas, there were 1 billion verses left. And he took those 1 billion verses and fashioned the Smritis from the original one Veda. Same. Anyways, so our consciousness is very dull. We hear things and we go, yeah, but we don't really understand it because our consciousness is dull. So we hear it again and hear it again and hear it again. The name of Krishna is none different than Krishna. So by that contact of the soul, contacting Krishna through his name, and then from his name, beginning with his name, and then the other processes of hearing and remembering, chanting, serving, and so forth, by the process of bhakti, as we've been discussing, the subtle body, down to the subtlest of all, false ego, can be dissolved. Material mind dissolved. Whew, what a relief. Even just from the, you know, the relief of the harassment, it sounds nice. What to speak of then when the real mind and the real ego and the real sense of self and the real spirit of just being in Krishna's service becomes matured. So we're on the right track. Fortunately, by the mercy of our founder Acharya giving these wonderful teachings, I want to do express two more verses, in part because I've shared this. Every initiation ceremony I attended that Prabhupada was speaking, he spoke on these two verses because they're relevant from Rupa Goswami's writings on the topic of initiation. So these two starts with Tasmat Guru Prapadyeta Jigyasu Shreya Uttama Shabde Parechanishnatam Brahmani Upashama Shrayam. This is a verse from the 11th canto spoken by Sage Prabhuda to King Nimi, one of the Navayogendras, the 9 Uttama Adhikari sons of Maharaj Rishabdev. They visited the king, and there was some circumstance. And the king was inquiring, and one of the inquiries was this topic, becoming freed from material existence. And initiation is one of those things, or association with saintly persons followed in course of time, initiation. That's described. So the first word is tasmat. That's therefore. It's kind of like after saying so many things. Okay, therefore, in summary or in conclusion, therefore, tasmat guru prapadyeta. Tasmat guru prapadyeta. So one must surrender. Prapadyeta means surrender to guru. Then the second half describes the qualification. But tasmat guru prapadyeta jigyasu shreya uttama. Jigyasu means inquiry, and shreya uttama means the ultimate benefit of the living entity. Prabhupada has translated it as one who wants real happiness as opposed to the other kind. Real happiness isn't circumstantial. Circumstance creates happiness, circumstance changes, one finds unhappiness. And then the circumstances change again, and then there's happiness, and then circumstances change, and there's unhappiness. That's not happiness. That's conditioning by circumstance. Real happiness is sat. In fact, it's not only eternal, it's ever expanding. That's the living entity searching lifetime after lifetime, birth after birth, species after species, circumstance after, in the course of life, so many changing circumstances, still looking for that happiness, not finding it. It's quite elusive. Just as finding water in a desert is elusive. Finding substance in a reflection is elusive because it doesn't exist. It appears to be, and therefore one chases the appearance of, but there's no substance there. Prabhupada uses this very simple language. There's substance and there's category. And spirit is substantial. And here there's category. Anyway, without this nice philosophy. But then when we're in touch with the substance of happiness, one wants to be in touch with the substance of happiness, Shreya Uttama, then there must be this connection with a spiritual master, according to Sage Prabhuda. And one should surrender there and know, well, what's the qualification? Shabde Pare cha nishnatam. Shabde, one has heard. The knowledge that one has had, one has assimilated, heard and assimilated that knowledge. It's same as when the sages of Nami Sharanya meet Sutta. They say, oh, we want to hear from you because you've not only heard from Shukadeva Goswami this Srimad Bhagavatam that we haven't had the opportunity to hear, but you've understood it. And not only you've understood it, but you've assimilated it and you've realized it. And you're a speaker. You're known. You're renowned for being such a qualified speaker. So we want to hear from you. So there's qualifications. Shabde Pare indicates transcendental. There's features of the Vedas that teach how to live a prosperous life, in road to goodness. But Shabde Pare is realization of transcendental knowledge. Chant Nishnatam. Again, the translation Prabhupada has given is that person can then explain it and dispel doubts of those who come forward to hear from that person. They not only know it and realize it, but they effectively can present. Shabde Parecha Nishnatam Brahmani Upashramashrayam. The transcendence is their shelter, and material considerations are upashamashrayam, are cast far away. So that's what initiation represents. philosophically, then, you know, there's the practical. That's just the other verse will go to the practical. Tadvijnanartham sagaram eva abhigacchet samatpani shrotriyam brahmanishtam. This is from the Upanishads. Tad vijnanartham. That person who wants to know, same as in Bhagavad Gita 4:34. That person who wishes to know transcendental knowledge, they must abhigacchet. I'm not a Sanskrit scholar, but I've heard Prabhupada say it so many times. It's imperative. You must. There's not an optional. It's imperative. You must. There's not another thing to do if you want that transcendental knowledge. One must. Tad vijnanartham sa gurum abhigacchet. One must take shelter and of such a person. And samatpani, mood should be humble service. Literally it means carrying firewood in the hand, just like Krishna and Sudama Brahman in service to Sandipani Muni. They were engaged in going into the forest and gathering wood for the fire to serve their spiritual master, Sandipani Muni. So, although one's a brahmana and another's a kshatriya, they're little boys, they should serve the guru, whether it's a little boy or a big boy, or an adult or an elder or whoever. It's a principle. Samatpani, shrotriyam, brahmanishtam. Shrotriyam, this is now the qualification of the spiritual master. Shrotriyam, brahmanishtam. Firm faith in transcendence from the byproduct or the fruit of having properly heard. So that's the skeleton or the bones of what we're doing here, this process of initiation. And then there's the practical, just like to describe a little bit, particularly because Nisha's mom and dad are here, say something about her little journey to take shelter of Krishna. This Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev. Who knows how many lifetimes before this lifetime we have experienced? It's not something that one can calculate, even if you were like an astrologer or something. There's Bhrigu readers. My sister told me once. She had this address of a Bhrigu reader somewhere in Uttar Pradesh, Lucknow or something like that, and she was really enthused. You know, somebody she knew about this Bhrigu reader, and you know, it's said that if you get that information, you go to the Bhrigu reader, they'll tell you 100 lifetimes what you were before this lifetime. And I said, no, thank you. And she said, what? Aren't you interested? I said, no. It's like tourism. I don't want to go somewhere and be a tourist. He said, yeah, but, you know, it would be interesting. I said, it's just like when you send me pictures of our childhood together. You know, it's for you it's interesting. For me it's not interesting. I want to know where I'm going, not where I've been. So who knows how many lifetimes we've been sojourning in the material world. But when coming in contact with devotees, And how does that happen? Well, it's according to Scripture. It's somehow or other. That's an interesting phrase. It means there isn't a cause. It's a causeless mercy. Somehow, a devotee that's carrying bhakti that received it somehow by the mercy of some other bhakta, and they received it from some other bhakta, and you know the multi-level marketing thing. They received it from somebody, and now they're carrying it and they're enjoying, give it. So Nishu went to college and met Jamuna Jivana and found Krishna consciousness attractive. And who knows, that may have been in some previous lifetime or maybe first lifetime, doesn't really matter. And then the continuing of that process by hearing and chanting, and as I shared with her the other day, who knows how many lifetimes of purification have taken place in the last few years. Meaning, how long would we go on with this sojourning thing and go through, you know, the ups and the downs of circumstances and perplexity and trying to sort our way out, and without shelter of Krishna, it's very sad if when persons don't have that opportunity or have the opportunity and say no. Uddhava is puzzled by that. People, how can people say no? Because Krishna is so kind. He's so kind and he's so kind, and who's someone doesn't take that opportunity. It's very puzzling. So taking the opportunity, then practically speaking, the bhakti creeper grows and other things fall away. When the light goes on, darkness goes away. Really simple principle. Part of the problem is we're attached to darkness. Or, you know, independence, sorting things out for ourselves with our sharp acumen of illusion. Finding happiness in a reflection and going after it. So Krishna's been very kind. And then Alex and Natalia have been through their interesting sojourn too. There was a period of time when I was spending more time in New York and less time traveling. And there's a very large Russian population in New York. And so I was conducting and trying to do what I could do to encourage devotees that were coming regularly to the temple from the Russian community to go to the Russian community and extend Sangha, association of devotees, to them. So that happened. They were living in New York. Probably didn't speak much English. So someone to speak Russian with, fantastic. Someone that gave the message of bhakti in Russian, fantastic. And they invited them to come to the temple, fantastic. And they started visiting the temple. And they're hearing and chanting, the watering of the creeper of bhakti grew. Something happened and their lives took them to a desert. Phoenix, Arizona. And not much association, things didn't look so good for the hearing and chanting program, but then some association, and of course their sincerity, Krishna led them to that. He's very kind. And their Krishna consciousness has been blossoming since then. Those are practical examples of what these wonderful verses from Scripture say. And it's really, really nice to see this. Then the other devotees, I think what I'll do is invite... Do we have a portable microphone, Sival? Can we bring it? Can you bring it? A few devotees to speak something about those in the assembly. Rati and Hensa Vacharya Nishtha over there. Give to Nityananda Prabhu. Say something about these nice devotees in front of you.
So I'll start with Rati Prabhu. So I've known Rati Prabhu since 2002. And my association with him began by my friendship with his brother, Govinda. So Govinda and I would spend literally 8-10 hours a day. He'd be in my house, we'd be together, and that's how I met Rati Prabhu and his wonderful family.
This is when he's living in the suburbs.
Yes, this is in Chicago, before he also moved to the oil fields.
Okay.
So then Rati Prabhu and I, by yesterday some of us heard how Rati Prabhu was expressing by the grace of Guru Maharaj here. It turned out that we three of us, there's another family who's now moved to India, at least temporarily, that we decided to live together, or at least become neighbors. And long story short, we found houses such that Rati Prabhu was my very next door neighbor, and our dear friend Jagadananda, right across from us. And that's where things started even more, I guess, intimately for us, as the three families came together in a very, very deep friendship. And I still remember the winter of 2003, where Rati Prabhu and Jagadananda and their two wives, Sukada and Ananda Vrindavan, were getting initiated. And Himangi and I were in India. And we were landing on the very night of their initiation. And there was a severe blizzard. All our flights got cancelled coming in from Toronto. And we couldn't make it here. And Guru Maharaj he asked someone, are they still here? Are they here yet? And he got the message, no, they haven't, that my wife and I, we hadn't reached the temple yet. So Maharaj extended the class for longer and longer time, just so that we can get in. And finally Maharaj said, no, let's get started. And he invited, that time he was Ravi. Okay, Ravi and Sukanya. And as soon as he said that, Himangi and I walked into the room and he said, your friends are here. And that's how the initiation ceremony took up. And so our friendship has grown very, very, very deep and strong. And Rati Prabhu has continued, although he's moved to Houston, I feel a part of me has gone with him, he and his family. And so now Rati Prabhu's, regardless of his difficult job circumstance, long commute, has steadfastly completed his Bhakti Shastri degree, and very, very honored and happy that he has come all this while for his second initiation. Anyone who knows Rati Prabhu will attest that he is like sweetness personified. He is a very, very sweet person. Just a very loving, caring, and a very dear friend to have. So I'm particularly very honored to be here for his second initiation.
Keep going. You're doing great.
Then Gajendra Moksha Prabhu and Charana Renu Mataji. I've also known this family for over almost 15 years. 2002. I remember they moved from Albany and had friendship with Jagadananda and Ananda Vrindavan. And over the course of the last, I would say, 6 years, I've come to know them even more intimately, both of them and their family, the two daughters, Kirti and Lalita. And Gajendra Moksha Prabhu, I'll start with him. Maharaj was describing yesterday, he's a professor at Northwestern University who deals with nanotechnology, and Maharaj was joking, we don't even know what that means. But
did you hear my comment down in the kitchen? You probably laughed.
And so one thing that I appreciate about Gajendra Moksha Prabhu is, after being educated and being a professor of that caliber, and he is a little shy, so he won't tell, but once in a while I get to hear that he's very revered in his field. Even the government of India wants some very special things from him. He had almost a chance to meet the Prime Minister of India because of his research acumen, etc. But he's one person over the course of time who's learnt the beauty of being humble, and every Sunday, regardless of what happens, he is here with his team to help in the kitchen. And it's not like he's the boss of the kitchen, he's the servant of Vishwakarma Prabhu, and he's the one who fries the pakoras and mixes the salad and does all the, you know, humble things. And so it's been a very fantastic journey for him, and I'm being his friend, I think I've gone along with him, learned from him, shared with him, and he's a very generous man, a very, very generous man at heart. And so very supportive of some of the things we're doing here in ISKCON Chicago. So I'm very honored as well. And Charanarendu Mataji is an excellent cook. So it's interesting that he's in the kitchen on Sundays, which is excellent. I guess he gets trained Monday through Saturday. So she's also taken up services at the temple. There are some health issues, so there was a little pause. But a very sweet lady. And she also, despite, I would say, the difficulty of English not being the first language, has very quickly studied her Bhakti Shastri, given her exams. Although it's not something that comes naturally for her. And any one of us from India, when you hear the word exam, you know how it feels, right? We know that experience. But she's very sweetly there. And despite health issues, she's dedicated herself to studying and doing the what is necessary for coming up to the stage of second initiation. So I'm very honored as well. Acharya Nishtha Prabhu is a brahmachari in our temple. And we heard yesterday some of his expression of when he met Maharaj. He was, how did you say it? Wild? Wild ways of book distribution, and what is that? Getting into, sneaking into festivals, music festivals to distribute books. And he's very happy that he met Maharaj, who I guess trained him in the more refined ways of devotional life. And so he's been staying at our temple for the past almost 4 years, and is a very avid book distributor. He's our Sankirtan leader. He's also been Maharaj's personal servant while he's here. And he is at the cusp of taking another big step in his life, that he's going to be visiting ISKCON Chaupati and spending a significant amount of time there, becoming trained in a deeper study of scripture and a deeper commitment to remaining on this path of being a brahmachari and serving his spiritual master and the movement in a deeper committed way. So we're very happy that before he leaves in a few days that he's taken this wonderful step. So thank you very much.
Do you want to even speak something? Brajamohan, be ready. Brajamohan, don't go anywhere. I'm going to ask you to speak something. Prepare yourself. You can defer to your better half if you wish. Is she here? Okay, she's blushing. She's here.
It's an honor to see Nisha taking the step. Her road has not been linear by any stretch of imagination. But by her sincerity and by a lot of mercy, she's here and taking this. We're very happy for you. One thing I'd like to say about Nisha is that, the other thing is, having her parents is fantastic.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much for being here.
Means a lot.
One thing that I really appreciate about Nisha was that she really loved to hear. And we can see that even today, that she'll be sitting in front, eagerly hearing from Maharaj. One incident that I recall was maybe about 5-6 months after she'd been participating at the club. There was a home program with a visiting sannyasi. It wasn't Guru Maharaj. And so the class went on and on and on and on. And the room was full with devotees and everybody's getting edgy and little, you know, notes were being handed to Maharaj to, you know, to maybe, you know,
hold
devotees
the
are getting, you know, hungry and... and our kid was also getting edgy, so we were ourselves getting edgy and we wanted to leave, and so she had come with us. And as we were leaving, I asked her, so, you know, are you also tired? She looked, no, I could have stayed there for more time. I was so surprised. Do you remember that? No, okay. Maybe it was somebody else then.
That's good. We have time. Well, Uma, you speak something? Your roommate, former roommate? Not too much. I'll cut you off.
Sure.
She likes to appreciate devotees, and she really likes to appreciate. I got a very nice letter, long letter from Uma about how much she appreciates Nisha. So edit it a little bit.
Okay, so I've known Nisha for a year, and when she moved to live in the Krishna house in Michigan, our relationship developed, and I initially had this very motherly or sisterly affection towards her because she had just moved to this new place, and Maharaj had mentioned about her to me, so I wanted to make sure she's okay, but we developed a very sweet friendship over a few months, and then eventually we started living together. We became roommates, which was a really interesting experience. If anyone knows anything about running an ashram, it's not recommended to put two girls in the same room. But it was because our relationship was centered around Maharaj and Krishna, it didn't matter like our differences or anything. We just overcame them so sweetly and easily, and it helps us. They helped us to grow instead. And Nisha, as Prabhu mentioned, her her desire to hear is like, it's just like far out, and her sadhana, her will. Her desire to like chant her rounds, be focused on her japa is like amazing, and it's actually helped me to improve my japa, which I've been trying for many, many years, to overcome a certain, to improve my japa in a certain way, and only with her association was it possible. So I actually feel like Krishna sent her to help me out. She sent her to Michigan to help me out. And, also, I'll mention about the other thing that happened recently was we had this car accident, and it was a pretty intense car accident, but I was trying to be the controller in this car accident, trying to figure out how we can save ourselves and stop this from happening. But Nisha immediately, she was the first one. She started saying, oh Krishna, like this. And when I sort of reduced my doership mentality, I heard her. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, we can't actually do anything right now. We're helpless. So the point is to remember Krishna. And because she reminded me, I also started screaming out Krishna on the top of my lungs and trying to, you know, like, it doesn't matter what happens, as long as you can hear the holy name. So I'm really grateful to her for so many things. These are just a couple. She also, because of her, the university program was revived at the University of Michigan, and the students just love her. And I don't know what I'm going to do without her, because now she's moved to St. Louis. But, you know, there's Krishna House in St. Louis, so they're totally blessed.
Thank you very much.
Sorry.
You and your husband. When I spent some time with Alex and his wife in Phoenix, I immediately thought of Sri Guru Charana Padma and Brijamohan, because they're so exemplary in their ability to connect with Russian-speaking people and Russian families. So I encouraged them to get together, and they were very happy to do that. And your association has been not, you know, extensive, but I'd like to hear what your some words you can say about this nice couple. Minimal association? Because you were distracted? Going to here and there?
Yes, in my understanding, then when people keep in heart spiritual desires, after many, many years, and by getting mercy of Guru, souls became ready, became more serious, surrendered to really to Guru, to his instructions, and посвятить как? Посвятить свою жизнь. Dedicate life to mission of Guru. That's what I felt from association with these nice devotees.
She wants to say something.
Can I tell a couple of words
quick. Be quick, because the time is... I'm just sensing time is running.
About my beloved friend, Prati Prabhu.
Make it quick.
I am personally so happy for him, because I know you 2002, maybe, I don't remember you. Three. That's all these years, actually, just what I felt, it's quite similar appreciation in my heart that Rati Prabhu, definitely like sweet person, but always ready to serve to devotees, to serve to Guru. And Rati's face, deep face to Guru, to his instructions, attachment to Guru, attachment to his instruction, that's what I felt all time. And when we used to meet sometimes, one by one, first point, let's put Yom Maharaj lectures, and we just heard it. and service to other Vaishnavas, so nice service. I'm happy for you, Prabhu, to watch Arinishta Prabhu, so many years, serious devotee, dedicated to service to Guru and preaching.
Hare Krishna. Just a couple of words to Alex and Natalia. We were in touch, we were still staying in touch for this time, just like sometimes on the phone, and we were able to invite Alexander and Natalia for the program, Namahata program, when Maharaj was there. And yesterday I was like, Brajamohan was sick, but yesterday I was like spending like a couple hours with them, and I really like enjoyed such a wonderful, sincere devotees. And we would like to inspire them to start Bhakti Vriksha, maybe for Russian group. We were talking a little bit about that yesterday. And my, like, our, like we are very happy that you are taking the initiation today. It's funny, we were also Natalia and Alexander before initiation, the same names we had.
Oh, that is funny. Gift to Prema Dhatri, there'll be less. I have a request for both of you, but don't go away. As you have, and you can see just from just what we experienced, why the Russian community devotees love them so much, and they are very creative in how to have retreats and gatherings and sangha and care and happiness and love. It's just like you're an amazing couple. So please, a request of service, please extend that same, guide them in how they can do the same. It's, you know, that the Russian community here is much bigger than Phoenix, but it's the same principles apply, you know, how to reach and connect with people. So I'm requesting you to, and you similarly. Okay, you got the picture. Thank you. Last.
So I'm very appreciative of Prabhu's guiding Natalia and Alex to start a Bhakti Vruksha in Phoenix. We have about three or four families now, Russian families, and they have started to meet right now regularly and for Bhakti Vruksha type of a program. They read some scriptures, and we've also managed to get a few Russian books, and we are trying to get some more Russian books in the near future. So it helps them with their spiritual reading and advancement. But quickly, I know we don't have much time. Maharaj already mentioned that Natalia and Alex met Maharaj 20 years ago, and they also had a home program with Maharaj in their apartment. And then with circumstances, the way they turned out, they had to leave soon after that. They came to Phoenix, went to Russia, and came back to Phoenix. And they did not give up on Krishna consciousness. Their seed was already planted when they were in Phoenix, in New York. And they continued their chanting. And I'm very happy that they continued with their chanting, very nice chanting, serious chanting. They're serious devotees. And they just, when they decided to take shelter of Maharaj, it's very strange. In the morning, Alex Prabhu decided that I'm going to take shelter of Maharaj. And in the evening, Natalia had the same feeling that she wanted to take shelter of Maharaj. And so Alex Prabhu went to Natalia Mataji and said, I think I'm ready for initiation. And she said, you know what, I decided the same thing today. So it's amazing how they both decided on the same day. So I think good omens, and I'm very happy for them for this auspicious occasion. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Let's do the vows and then the yajna. We're taking a nice exchange like this. Nisha, you come pay obeisances before Prabhupada. Okay, big moment. Mom's watching, Dad's watching, Krishna's watching, the Vaishnavas are watching. You nervous? The vows. How many rounds you'll chant every day? Okay, and the rules that you'll follow? Okay, very good. And you'll make your best effort to follow very carefully Srila Prabhupada's teachings for the rest of your life. Yes, very good. I know you will. Just formal. Your initiated name is Nama Kirti Devi Dasi.
Nama Kirti Devi Dasi Ki Jai.
Name means You're the servant of the glories of the holy name. Om was very happy. She liked that name. Okay. We'll start with you, Alex. How many rounds you'll chant every day?
Minimum 16.
Very good. And the rules that you'll follow?
No gambling, no drugs.
Okay.
Meat eating.
Okay, very good. Very good. No problem. No problem. Okay. One time when someone was giving the four rules, they were so nervous they couldn't remember them, and Prabhupada said, "Is this because you're attached to one of them?" No problem. And you'll very carefully follow Prabhupada's teachings. No problem. Initiated name is Achyuta Das.
Achyuta Das Prabhu Ki Jai.
And that name, you know the meaning? Achyuta? One who cannot fall. The living entity is Chuta, and then there's Achyuta. Cannot fall. And your initiation. You look really happy. Yeah, okay, the vows. How many rounds you'll chant every day?
Minimum 16.
Very good. And the rules that you'll follow?
The ahimsa, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no
intoxication. Fantastic. And you'll follow also, like your husband, Prabhupada's teaching? Very good. Initiated name is Nirmala Gopi Devi Dasi.
Nirmala Gopi Devi Dasi Ki Jai.
This means the gopi who is free from impurities. Mala is impurity, and Nirmala, no impurity. Nirmala Gopi. Okay.